Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's time for the offering, tithes and offerings. I'm going to, just this morning, I kind of started sharing on some things, and I just felt again tonight, I need to go a little bit deeper into what I shared this morning concerning the building fund. Because, you know, this time of the month, although we do tithes and offerings, we also collect for the building fund. And just by the way, thank you very much for those that gave into that special offering. If you need a gift, that envelope, they have it there. Into the special offering, we had £12,000 coming for the miracle offering. Plus, we have every month about £2,700 that people have pledged that we're going to pay off on our mortgage. So we're going to see the interest reduced greatly. And it's our desire to see the church become debt-free.
Amen.
And in the same way, when the church becomes debt-free, God's going to take care of you. Amen? Because when you take care of God's house.
Amen.
And so kind of when I was beginning to meditate on the whole aspect of the building fund and the offering and everything else, the Spirit of God just reminded me of Jesus and the temple tax. And the temple tax, and I began to look into the whole thing, you know, and the temple tax was actually instituted by Moses, where they would take a tribute, it was called a tribute, towards the upkeep of the house of God. Now, you need to understand is that it is God that instructed Moses to build a place where his presence could dwell. Amen. Where the word could be kept and where the word could be ministered to the people and teach them how to do life. While in Israel, it was just really interesting because the word Torah that we have translated into the law is actually not law, it's instruction for life. And so I've always seen the Word of God as principles or instruction how to do life successfully. In Israel, we were just talking to some of the young Jewish Messianic believers, and we might be starting a Bible school in Israel. Who knows? We'll just see what the Spirit of God wants to do. But anyway, it is really interesting that a lot of part times people see Bible school as where you go to go into the ministry, not realizing our whole life is ministry. And Bible school is there to empower us how to do life. That becomes a ministry in itself. That becomes a way that we minister to others, how to achieve life, how to achieve successfully, how to avoid making mistakes, how to be empowered to trust God and believe God, to tap into the supernatural promises of God. Amen. And so Bible school for me is not about preparing for ministry. It's about preparing for life. And so the temple was a place where God put his name, and that's where the Word of God was housed. That's where people were empowered to do life, where they went to the synagogue or the tabernacle or the temple, and they were taught the Word of God. Jesus loved the house of God. He taught. Often you'd find him busy teaching. The Word of God talks about him being in the temple, teaching his disciples about the Word of God. And so we need to understand something, that the place of worship was not instituted by man. It was instituted by God. That God wanted a place where his presence could dwell, where his word could be taught, where people could be empowered for life. And so God instructed Moses to build the tabernacle. God gave the measurements. God gave the word. First, he gave the Ten Commandments, which is the for life, or Torah, or law, as we call it. And then God told him and gave him the specifications to build the tabernacle. He gave the specifications to David to build the temple. And so we see all along that God is the one that orchestrates and instructs it in the same way as when God brought us supernaturally to this place and told us how to go about getting Carmel. And so thank God for his wisdom. Here we are 7 years later or 6 years later. And God has taken care of us all this time. Supernatural, because in the natural, we couldn't buy this. And in the natural, we couldn't sustain it. But God did. Do you understand? And so we need to understand is that when God builds a place or where God determines or desires for his word to be manifest, then God also requires of us a responsibility to come to the upkeep of the whole house or the upkeep of the tabernacle or the temple or whatever it was. And so it's interesting that we began to see that Moses instructed the people to bring this, what they call the temple tax, which is actually a tribute money where people over and above the tithes and the offerings they would bring just for the upkeep of the house of God. And we're going to look at Jesus, but I want you to go with me to 2 Chronicles, because there's a really interesting story there in 2 Chronicles, how through certain aspects there was a neglect to the house of God. And well, let's just go there and we can read it for ourselves. And I just kind of felt tonight I just needed to bring that to help people with the understanding. You know, one of the challenges that I have, and this is no offense to anybody, and I don't mean to offend anybody. I have a friend who's been pastoring for 20 years in this country, and he still doesn't have a place that he calls home. He still rents halls and auditoriums and stuff like that. And the fact of the matter, where I see that, where it's a great tragedy, because had he had a place where people could come on a day-to-day basis, his effectiveness in this nation would have been so much more powerful. But because he chose, you know, and, you know, to a large degree, we find lots of organizations that don't want to buy a building and they're quite happy to rent school halls and stuff like that. That is, that to me, and please hear my heart, that is being slightly small-minded in not believing that God can do the supernatural thing. I remember those guys, was in Shepton Mallet, not Shepton Mallet. You know what I'm talking about. It's one of the little things. The guy came to me. God gave him a vision many years ago to get a church, an auditorium in their city. And one thing led to another, frustration and one thing and another. And then they came and they found out about us and they began to talk to us about it. And they said, how did you do it? And I began to speak to them. And I said to them, you know what? I'm going to come down and I'm going to go in your city with you. And we're going to go and look out and we'll just go and look. And when we came there, there was this building, purpose-made building. When I say purpose-made building, it was a purpose-made building ready to be able to take. It was an industrial estate, because a lot of time people can't get their heads around that you put a church in an industrial estate, because this is an industrial estate. But you know, God didn't say that there is this particular area that I want you. He just says, go and plant in the community, wherever that community may be. And so we walked there and I looked around and I said, I really believe this is the place and you need to go. He says, but we don't have any money in the bank. We don't have anything. I said, you know what? That's exactly the position we were. But because God said, and because we put our faith, God gave them. Today, they're now in that building, that same building, and they're now taking ownership of that building. Amen. Do you understand? It's been 3 years or nearly 4 years in the making. But you know, the thing is that the person, he even said to me, he said, but you know, I've reached retirement age. I said, there's no such a thing as retirement in the body of Christ. It's called refinement. In other words, you just refire. God's taking you to the next thing, because you have a responsibility to the next generations to leave something for them. Amen. To be a voice in a community, to be a light in a community. We're a light in this community. Amen. And so you need to understand, it's God's desire that there be a place where there's a permanent place where he may be glorified, where his word may be instructed, where he may be released. You know, the big tragedy for me, I better not go down. This may be politically incorrect. But, you know, one of the things is that within the covenant responsibilities of the Anglican Church will not give their empty buildings to another church. They're happy to give it to a Muslim. They're happy to give it to Sikhs. They're happy to give it to industry. But they will not give it to another church. Do you understand? And that's going to be their failure. That's going to be their poverty. Are you with me? Because eventually they will lose all their buildings and everything with it. And so here's these churches that are up and coming and growing and need places. And you know what? They'll go give it to the Sikh. They'll give it to the mosque. They'll go and give it to other places. But they will not give it to the church of God. And I don't know, you know, maybe they need to review all that thing. But it's a tragedy anyway. So here's the thing, is that God desires a place where he can put his name. So we see here in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And this all started when I began to think of the tribute money. Why did they ask Jesus about the tribute money? And just by the way, Jesus gave. He didn't whinge about it. And we're going to read the story there. It says in chapter 24, verse 1, Joas was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord of the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took two wives for him, and he had sons and daughters. Now it happened after this that Joash set his heart on repairing the house of God. So the first thing that we need to see that the house of God was in disrepair. Yeah. Amen. Because you cannot expect it to take care of itself. Do you understand? Every week people come and you know, by the way, the people that sold us these chairs 7 years ago came around not so long ago, and they could not believe that these chairs are in the condition that they are. I said, well, there's a number of things of why. One, we take good care of them. And two, we pray over them to last. Amen. And they said that this is a phenomenal testimony to their product, that this product lasts so long. I said, because we take good care of what God has brought into this house. Many people gave financially to buy chairs for us to have these chairs. Yeah. Amen. And so we thank God for those things. But the house was in disrepair and things began to age. How many of you know that things begin to age? And it says there, then he gathered the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out to the cities of Judah and gather from all of Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year and see that you do it quickly. However, the Levites did not do it quickly. In other words, all Joash was doing was once again reinstating what was already as part of Israel's heritage about taking care of the places of worship. Amen. The places where God has put his name. So the king called Jehoiada, the chief priest, and said to him, why have you not required the Levites to bring in from Judah and from Jerusalem the collection according to the commandments of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the assembly of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? He says, why have you not done it? And that's another thing. The priest did not do as Moses had commanded. Why? Because sometimes I find in churches, people don't want to talk about finances, don't want to talk about bringing in and being responsible for the care of the house of God. Amen. The minute you mention money, people just want to close up and clam up. And I say, but don't you understand? This is where God puts his name. This is where, and by the way, God called Carmel, Carmel. I didn't call it Carmel. I called it Anchor Bible Training, Anchor Bible Church, ABC, because I had worked it out. ABC of the word, Anchor Bible Church, anchor meaning faith. Ooh, I thought it all out. Whoa, whoa. And God says, what you name, you sustain. I said, well, I take my hands off. What do you want to call it? He says, call it Carmel. A place of fertility, a place of prosperity, a place of great demonstration of the power of God. He put his name. I didn't put the name. Hey, man, people say your church. I said, not my church, his church. I would have been a happy little Larry in Africa still doing what I'm doing. Do you understand? He came and he interrupted Jerry's life and he brought Jerry to Jerry's destiny. Hey, man. And so he put his name. And so sometimes we see that people don't want to talk about finances, don't want to talk about the repair, because how do you think we pay for the lights? I go to the lighting company and I say, ooh, hallelujah, we're spiritual. Ooh. And they say, well, pay the bill. I say, ooh, karabah, rabah, rabah. And they say, well, then light your own candles, buddy, because I'm switching off the electricity. Hey, man. We take for granted. We go to the toilet. There's toilet paper. We flush the toilet. Water comes out. We go and there's a soap in the soap dish. Hello. Amen. And then the heating's on. Whoa. Thank God for the heating. Especially this time of the year. Amen. And even we have a car park next door that we've leased so that you didn't have to walk far. You can just drive up in the comfort. Where do you think that comes from? That comes through the over and above of the tithes that we bring in so that we can keep God's house in good repair. Amen. And so a lot of times the priest did not do what Moses had commanded. Amen. People think building fund is just something we came up with. They want more money. Well, you know, all Israel tithed and they brought the offerings. And then Moses still said, now let's take care of the house of God. Amen. Amen. People say, well, isn't it in my tithe? Well, happy birthday. Then why did Moses ask? And by the way, if everybody was tithing, we probably wouldn't have to do building fund.
That's
Let me not go down that little road. Hey, man. 20, there lies the problem. 20% of really the body of Christ, 20% of the body of Christ really tight. Hey, man, you work it out. We've done an analysis, and at one stage, we were like 23%. And when the economy gets really tough, then it kind of drops to 13%, you know? And then people wonder why they're not walking in prosperity, because you're not honoring God. But anyway, that's another whole story. I don't want to go down there. And so we see something. Now, here's the thing. It says Moses, the servant, commanded. Verse 7, for the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, say wicked woman.
Wicked woman.
Oh. Anyway, had broken into the house of God and also presented all the dedicated things of the house to the Lord, to the Baals. In other words, she came and took what belonged. And this is kind of what just blows my mind a little bit with the national church, how they've taken and they've given their things to Baal. It says, and then as the king commanded, they made a chest and set it outside the gates of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to bring to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, had imposed upon Israel in the wilderness. Now, you need to understand, the temple tribute, God instructed it, Moses instituted. Do you understand that? He says, then all the leaders and all the people rejoiced. They were happy. Is it what? We didn't know the temple was in disarray. We'd be more than happy to be able to contribute towards the upkeep of the temple. It says then all the leaders and people rejoiced, brought their contribution and put them into the chest until all had given. Notice, all had given. Okay, I'll say that again. Only Stacy got that. All had given. Not some had given. All had given. So it was at the time when the chest was brought to the king's officials by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, that the king's scribes and the high priest's officers came and emptied the chest. Now just understand it, and took it and returned it to its place. In other words, just because they gave once doesn't mean it ends there. It says, thus they did it day by day and gathered money in abundance. Then King Jehoiada gave it to those who did the work and the service of the house of the Lord, and they hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also those who worked in iron and bronze to restore the house of the Lord. So the workmen labored, and the work was completed by them, and they restored the house of God to its original condition and reinforced it. Praise God. And when they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before King Jehoiada. They made it from articles of the house of the Lord, articles for serving and offerings. So in other words, whatever is over and above became and utilized for the things of the house of God to do the work of God. Now, this is the thing that I'm saying, is I'm saying we're believing for the church to be debt free. Once the church is debt free, the resources and the interest that we pay will become a blessing to be able to minister the gospel. In other things, how about paying other churches' debt off?
Amen.
Being able to go to them and write out a check and say, what's your mortgage?
Yeah.
My mortgage is $500,000. Here's a check for
$500,000.
Are you out there?
Amen.
You see, why do we just think of me, myself, and I? Do you understand?
Amen.
That we can go. We can go to others and pay them, and go to people and pay their debt off.
Amen.
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 Are you out there?
Yeah.
So, it's really important. So, King Joas made a plan, and the plan was that he notified the people. It's my responsibility as the pastor of the church to notify the people why we require, what we require the resources for to enable us to become debt-free so that we can do the will of God, so that this place can be as a testimony to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Where the Word of God is stored. The Word of God is stored every day in this church. There's not a day goes by that not somewhere in this building the Word of God is taught. In our school, in our preschool, in our Bible school, in our Bible studies, the Word of God is being taught. People are empowered 7 days a week in this place. Amen. Because I said, Lord, if we get this building, I'll make sure that this building never knows not a day where the Word of God is not being ministered or people given the opportunity to come and receive instruction from you.
Amen.
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 Amen. So King Joash informed the people. They made a plan. They built a box. They took up an offering. They brought everybody. Everybody was informed. People rejoiced. They came. The temple was then taken care of. So that's our design. Now let's go to Jesus, because there's some things that I want us to look in there that is really interesting concerning Jesus. So go with me to Matthew chapter 17. Because I want you to know, Jesus did not have a problem with the building fund. Why is it that we have problems with the building fund? Amen. It's gone very quiet in this Bible-believing, demon-bashing, hand-clapping church of the final move before Jesus returns. Amen. Amen. Anyway, when we are raptured, people will come and try to find out, and then they will discover the Word of God in this place. It will be called the church, and you know what? Anyway. So, are you with me? Have you found it already? Matthew chapter 17? Yeah. And we're going to read from verse 24. It says, when they had come to Capernaum, I learned how to say that in Hebrew. Capernaum. Sounds impressive. Capernaum. And when they came to, listen to this, and when they came to Capernaum, I'll just stick with Capernaum. Those who received the temple tax, or those that received the tribute money, the old King James talks about tribute money, is came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? And he said, yes. He does not pay, or does he pay? He does pay. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipating him, says, what do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? And Peter said to him, from strangers. And Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take it, that, and give it to them for me and for you. Now, you need to understand that Jesus was not saying that it wasn't good to do or pay the temple tax. That's not what he is saying. What they were saying is that the Pharisees came to him, and because he was a teacher, a rabbi, he had disciples. And because as a rabbi, he used the temple to teach his disciples. The Bible says he went in and taught. So they believed that because he was a rabbi, not only should he pay for himself, but he should pay for all his disciples. So they were saying, does he pay temple tax? Yes, he does. And so then they, you know, Peter went and told them, and he says, okay, so that we don't offend them, because they obviously added to that. Because you need to understand, when Moses instituted it, he instituted the same amount for everybody. And he didn't institute it that one person must take care of other people. But Jesus says, so that we do not offend them, just so we do not offend them, go down to the sea. So here's the thing. Here's the thing I want you to see, which is really amazing. It says, God will not ask us for something that he will not supply to us first. Amen. All he wants is a desire from you. Oh, that went. Do you understand? Jesus said, so that we may not offend him. His desire was, if that's what they want me to do, so be it. He says, go down, pull out a fish. In the fish is money. Enough money for you and for me. In other words, go and tell them the rabbi is paying, and he's paying for his disciple. Because the tribute money should have come from Peter himself. But here's the thing. And they had fish to eat. Because in Israel, you can go and eat St. Peter's fish. They call it St. Peter's fish. The only problem is we've never found another coin in the jolly thing. No matter how many times we've eaten St. Peter's fish. But anyway, but do you understand? So God will not require. You see, it was God's idea. It was God's desire to have a place where he could, his presence could be resident, and where people could be taught the Word of God. He then instituted and instructed Moses to take up over and above the tithes and offerings, because the tithes and offerings was our thanksgiving to God for what he has given us. Hello? Amen? And so, but then Moses instituted what they called the temple tribute. Jesus did not have a problem with the building fund. He was happy. He loved the house of God. But notice that because he loved the house of God, and it was his desire not only to take care of the house of God, but not to offend those had it put over and above on him, God gave the provision, gave the fish and the resources so that he could meet the commitment. So here's the thing that I want to talk to you tonight, and I just want to help you and challenge you. Firstly, it must be a desire in your heart. Because if it's a desire in your heart, God will bring the extra. The only problem is make sure you eat the fish and don't spend the coin, bring the coin. Because sometimes we say, hey, God brought me, I got the fish and I got movie tickets. Come on now. Hey, man. We take care of the movie theater down the road, but the theater of God's presence is being neglected. And you get better entertainment here than you do down there, just by the way. Amen. Much better entertainment. We could not make this stuff up. I mean, the movie industry, listen to me, I don't know, I'm going on a rabbit trail, but the movie industry is now making movies about Noah and about David and about, because they can't come up with good stories. I mean, those are amazing stories. I mean, I'm busy going through Daniel, the book of Daniel. I mean, you read Daniel, you want to get your hair standing up. It's amazing. Amen. You just got to read Daniel. He has this little Jewish boy taken captive, and he's made the second most powerful man in Babylon. Amen. I mean, this is good stuff. I'm waiting for them to make a movie. Anyway, you got Charlton Heston and all these guys and the Ten Commandments and all. You can't come up with stuff. Yeah, and it happens every Sunday. But we take it for granted. Hello, are you out there? We take it for granted. Amen. The most amazing, and God still teaches through his word. He teaches us. But he made a place where we could come and receive that. So let us have the same passion and desire that Jesus had for the house of God. To see it prosper, to see it flourish, to see it being taken care of, to see that the word here has been ministered, that people have an opportunity to come and receive the word of God. Amen. Am I making sense tonight? Am I connecting with you tonight? Amen. Anyway, well, that's your message and the offering message all in one. So I just want you to, thank you. Praise God. So I just want you to regurgitate it in your mind that Jesus didn't have a problem with a building fund. I didn't get too many amens on that one. I'll try that again. Jesus didn't have a problem with a building fund. In fact, he contributed towards the building fund over and above. But because his desire was for the house of God, his father took care of him. And that's why when I saw that this morning and I saw that God not only gave them the tribute money, but gave them the fish to enjoy as well. Amen. All you've got to do is have the desire. Lord, it's my desire. And, you know, Pastor Emma, we've committed. We've given into the miracle offering and we've committed on a month-to-month basis. It's our desire to see the church. I would not ask you to do anything that hasn't first touched my life.
Yes, right.
Amen. I don't get anything out of it. The building's paid off. It belongs to the charity. It doesn't belong to me. Hello? When I'm called home to glory, the building carries on with whatever God has planned and purposed for this and for the generations to follow. Amen. Amen. Anyway, so if you have your tithes and your offerings handy, just bring them out. If you have your building fund or you haven't given an opportunity to put into the building fund, give it. You have an opportunity tonight. We're going to pray. We're going to watch the announcements. And then we're going to get the worship team up to come and play us that lovely song, I Follow Jesus. I Follow Jesus of Nazareth. The Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. So you ready to give?
Yes.
Amen. Okay, let me try that again. Are you ready to give?
Yes.
All right. And so $1 million will be good for us to pay off all the debts in the church, and that will be really good. Mind you, the only debt we do have is the mortgage, isn't it? Thank God that God's taken care of everything for us. Amen. Praise God. So you ready?
Yes.
Take it in your hand. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the testimony of your Son and my Savior in giving. I thank you, Lord. He was a generous giver. Tonight, Lord, once again, I come, I commit my tithes and my offerings and my tribute money to the upkeep of your home for the work of the gospel in Jesus' name.